Well, thank you so much for coming to my website today on this sixth day of November, the year 2021, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth. Thank you so much for coming to my website. And thank you for wanting to spend at least an hour with me. I mean, at least that. I'm going to have a great time reading from a text that I have in my library, and it's called African American Religious History. It's a documentary witness from the second edition by Milton C. Sternett. He is the editor of this fine compilation of writings about religion and religious ideas from black folk, from the children of slaves. And I'm going to read from one of those. His name is Jupiter Hammond, and this is called The Address to the Negroes in the State of New York. This speech was given in New York City in the year 1786. I guess this is what a freed slave would sound like. I'm not sure, but I'm going to read it to you anyhow. And what I'd like you to do is to understand that when I was a pastor of a church, if I had read this, it would have changed the entire way ministry would have gone. Most of my sermons would have been preached far differently from what they were, and I would have taken a more inclusive look at the Bible on that. But this is what I believe I'm trying to get people to come down to. I think that people all around the world are looking for what I'm looking for, and it's called...
Libertad.
Yeah.
Libertad.
Libertad.
Freiheit.
Liberté.
Freiheit.
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 Freedom. Freedom is a word that is spoken and sung loudly and softly all around the world and in many languages. The word freedom is used for many purposes. It is sometimes even used in the interest of freedom. Think of freedom as it was enjoyed by Billy Strayhorn, my writing and arranging companion. Billy Strayhorn lived by four major moral freedoms. Freedom from hate unconditionally. Freedom from self-pity. Freedom from fear of possibly doing something that might benefit someone else more than it would him, and freedom from the kind of pride that could make a man feel that he was better than his brother.
White privilege. White privilege. That's what Duke Ellington was talking about. White privilege. Now, having said that, I want to get into reading this article. And I want you to, since you, and thank you, Duke, because he's alive right now. He may be dead to you, but he's very alive to me. That's why I play his music. It is so contemporary. I am going to Jupiter Hammond, who is he? Born in the year 1720, died, they think, around 1806. So long before I was born. But he is a black man in America. His parents were taken as slaves, I guess, brought over here. And I'm going to read his words after he has been indoctrinated, fully captured by the teachings and the interpretation of the teachings of scriptures from white supremacists because of the way he defines these particular texts. Now, I want you to go along with me as I read through this, and I will be adding my particular, how can I put it? I will be adding my particular nuances to what Jupiter is trying to say. He was the first African-American to write and or publish poetry, antedating his more famous contemporary, Phyllis Wheatley of Boston. Like her, he exhibited a deeply religious and conservative temperament, especially for a black man, and he would be ostracized as a traitor today. A favored slave to three generations to the Lloyd family of Long Island. In other words, he was a slave, but he was a white supremacist slave. And that's why I want you to listen to this, because as you listen, you will find a lot of people adopt these ideas today. Many black pastors adopt this idea, and I am in total agreement with what I'm going to say about this, just 7 minutes into this, and I'm excited already. And I hope that you're driving and you can listen to this and make up your own mind. Hammond came under the influence of the Wesleyan Evangelical Revival and devoted himself to the study of the Bible and, according to some sources, preaching among fellow slaves. The following address was originally presented to members of the African Society in the city of New York in the year of 1786. The Pennsylvania Society of Promoting the Abolition of Slavery ordered it reprinted, though Hammond's views regarding slavery were decidedly more conservative than those of such contemporaries as Richard Allen and Prince Hall. Indeed, because Allen and Hall would firmly disagree with this, and of course I disagree with it. But I was never presented this when I was a pastor in a Baptist church for many years. Since I've retired, I've been reading extensively many, many things, and that's why I come to my website and share this with you. So put on your thinking cap with me today, because I'm going to ask you to listen to his words, to the words of Jupiter Hammond, and let's see what you think about them. Perhaps because of his age and personal situation, Hammond felt a duty to bear slavery with patience. Yet, he hoped for the gradual emancipation of the younger slaves and acknowledged that liberty is a great thing and worth seeking for, quote unquote. The sublimation of a spiritual freedom from physical freedom, the reinforcement of the biblical model of the master-slave relationship, and doubts about the capacity of blacks to handle freedom echoed others such as John Chavis, the famous black Presbyterian minister of North Carolina, placed Hammond in a distinct minority in the African-American community. Only in death did Hammond find freedom. Ah, yes. And with that, I think we need to think about freedom from that before I get into Hammond's doom. freedom. Let's get into this writing by Jupiter Hammond. When I'm writing to you with disdain to say something to you for your good and with a view to promote your happiness, I can with truth and sincerity join with the Apostle Paul when speaking of his own nation, the Jews, and said, that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart for my brother and my kinsmen according to the flesh. Yes, my dear brethren, when I think of you, which is very often, and of the poor, despised, and miserable state that you are in terms of the things of this world, and when I think of your ignorance and stupidity, and the great wickedness of most of you, I am pained to the heart. It is at times almost too much for human nature to bear, and I am obliged to turn my thoughts from the subject or endeavor to still my mind by considering it as it is permitted thus to be by that God who governs all things, who setteth up and pulleth down another. While I have been thinking on this subject, I have frequently had great struggles of my own mind and have been at a loss to know what to do. I have wanted exceedingly to say something to you, to call upon you, with the tenderness of a father and a friend, to give you the last, that I may say, dying advice of an old man who wishes your best good in this world and in the world to come. Now, I understand by further reading this piece that he was in his, he was about my age, in his late 70s, when he made this statement. So he was an old man, and the young slaves coming up around him were, well, you pick it up in the writing. Listen to this. But while I had such desires, a sense of my own ignorance and unfitness to teach others has frequently discouraged me from attempting to say anything to you. Yet, when I thought of your situation, I could not rest easy. When I was at Hartford in Connecticut, where I lived during the war, I published several pieces that were received not only by those of my own color, but by many of white people who they thought that might do good amongst their servants. In other words, if the white people read his report, what he said in New York, then the slaves that they had would behave themselves and stop acting up. That's what this is all about. Then he says, this is one consideration amongst others that emboldens me how to publish what I have written to you Another is, I think that you will be more likely to listen to what is said when you know that it comes from a Negro. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know why my electronic device started to talk to me, and that is crazy. So, and you know, it's weird how these tablets, you can have your tablets and people are listening to you on these tablets, and then they start saying things. So let me try to turn the tablet off and so that I won't be interfered with any longer. Okay. I guess I did it. I hope it did it. I'm sorry. Let me get back to this. This is very interesting. Another is, he goes on and says, is that I think that you will be more likely to listen because it comes from a Negro. And he calls himself, I am that Negro. And he says, I am not deceiving you, nor am I saying things to you, but what he really thinks is your interest, the duty to comply with. And then he says, my age, I think, gives me some right to speak to you and reason to expect that you will hearken to my advice. All right, since he was in his late 70s as I do find that a good statement. You do expect younger people to listen to the sages in your community. He goes on and says, I am now upwards of 70 years old and cannot expect, though I am well and able to do almost any kind of business, to live much longer. In other words, he knew that his time was coming to an abrupt end. Then he says, I have passed the common bound set for a man and must soon go the way of all the earth. I have had more experience in the world than most of you, and I have seen a great deal of vanity, of wickedness of it. I have great reason to be thankful that my lot has been so much better than most slaves ever had. So this black man is admitting that he is living under the auspices of white privilege and that his life was very well lived. Then he says, I suppose I've had more advantages and privileges than most of you that are slaves have known. And I believe more than many white people have enjoyed, for which I desire to bless God and pray that he may bless those who have given them to me. In other words, if the white people bless me with stuff, I pray that God bless them because I lived a good life. That's what he's saying. Then he says, I do not, my dear friend, say these things about myself to make you think that I am wiser or better than others, but that you might hearken without prejudice to what I have to say to you of the following particulars. And this is what gets me, because he writes in this thing about two particulars, okay? Now, he's given this speech, and obviously somebody is recording it, okay? He says, first, representing obedience to masters. Now, he's writing to black people, and he's telling black people in this year of 1786 how they should respond to their slave masters that are holding them as slaves. All right? So he says, now, whether it is right and lawful in the sight of God for them to make slaves of us or not, he says, I am certain that while we are slaves, it is our duty to obey our masters. Well, let me say this right now. That's a lie. It was never our duty to obey someone that enslaved us, that took us ravishly from our home country and embedded us in a country that was not ours. So he is wrong there. He goes on and says, it is our duty to obey our masters and all their lawful commands. Not one of the commands was lawful, because you are not free. This is me talking over the writing. And then he says, and mind them unless we are bid to do that which we know to be sin. So he's saying, do what they tell us to do and don't work against them. This is a black man of a very conservative nature during the times of slavery, are forbidden in God's word. He says, if they use a Bible on you and show you that it's forbidden, we have to abide by what we are shown. Then he uses the Bible. He says, the Apostle Paul says, servants, be obedient to them who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service unto the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever things a man doth, he shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Yeah, but wait a minute. The free man is not treating you right, but he's telling you that you're going to be burning hell if you don't treat him with white superiority. This was the kind of belief system that they used the Bible for and put this in the minds of black people. Now look here. I'm continuing to read from this manuscript from Jupiter Hammond. He says, here is a plain command of God for us to obey our masters. No, it is not, because if you understood the context of that writ, and it was taken from the New Testament, one of the New Testament books in the epistles of Paul, he was talking about getting along with the Roman government and learning how to live in a state of mind because Rome ruled the world. He wasn't talking about obeying no white slave master that enslaved you as a people. The writing goes on and says, it may seem hard for us, if we think our master's wrong in holding us slaves, to obey all these things. But who of us dare dispute with God? Well, I'm dead. See, now, if I was alive, I would have been a dead slave. Because I would say, first of all, Jupiter, I'm not trying to, if there is a God, I'm not trying to come against God. I'm coming against this bondage that been put around my neck and all this other bullshit that I had to put up with. Let's just keep it plain. Then Jupiter goes on and says, he, meaning God, has commanded us to obey, and we ought to do it cheerfully and freely. That's a lie. God has not commanded us to obey that mess. And because somebody showed it to you in a book and my people couldn't read, most of us, they didn't allow us to read. That's why since I retired as a pastor, I'm used to see my books. I'm reading all the time. And I came upon this stupidity written by a black man that was a slave himself. He said, this should be done by us, not only because God commands, Jupiter says, but because our own peace and comfort depends upon it. Now, obviously, he was thinking about keeping us from being whipped, strung out, and everything. I know what he was trying to do, but look what he goes on and says. As we depend upon our masters for what we eat and drink and wear, for all of our comfortable things of this world, we cannot be happy unless we please them, quote, unquote. And I'm appalled at this. I'm appalled at it. Wait a minute, let me continue to read this. It says, this we cannot do without obeying them freely, without muttering or finding fault. Well, you got to mutter and find fault. Who planted the cotton that they It did all the cotton gin stuff in. What? Wait. He goes on and says, if a servant strives to please his master and use such to please his master and studies and takes pains to do it, this black man writes and says, I believe there are but a few masters who would use such a servant cruelly. That's a lie. That's a lie. But when you're living and you say, you start off the treatise by saying, I live better than the poor Negroes under me because my master's taking. See, his master, and who was his master? His master, this was an address to the Negroes in the state of New York by Jupiter Hammond. He was a servant of one John Lloyd, who was an esquire or an attorney in the manor of Queens Village, Long Island, New York. So he, all right, I understand. He was staying with someone that had money. I can understand that. And this is a privileged Negro writing to the underprivileged Negroes, trying to get them to stop their unruly lifestyles by obeying their masters freely. Okay, that's what he's, he talks about good servants frequently make good masters. If you are to convince him of it, as always, to obey his commands and try to serve him and take care of his interests. This is the black man speaking about what to do for the white man and try to promote it all in your power. In other words, everything the white man is saying and doing, you promote it. But what if it comes at the behest of your own people and your own life? And then he says, if you are proud and stubborn and always finding fault, your master will think the fault lies wholly on your side. Well, of course he will. He don't want nobody thinking against him. But if, now look what the black man writes to these other black men. But if you are humble and meek and bear all things patiently, your master will think he is wrong. No, he won't. But I didn't expect a black man back in that day to understand psychologically that deeply. But when you think that everything you have, you know, if you see the movie Glory starring Denzel Washington, there's a black servant that is working for the white commander that leads the black brigade into hell and death. He grew up in the house. He was one of the blacks that ate better, that lived better. And in the movie Glory, Denzel just wanted a pair of shoes and got whooped. Oh, man, please. I can't believe these kinds of people. But this is what they did with religion. I'm reading it to you because when religion is giving to you badly, when religion is giving to you and you are not thinking about thinking, that is a way that you are going to view all of this. This is a horrendous thing that this man is saying right now. And I don't advise anybody to follow Jupiter Hammond's thinking. It says, if you are proud and stubborn, he says, and always finding fault, your master will think the fault is wholly on your side. But if you are humble, and meek and bear all things patiently, I can't believe he said that, your master will think he is wrong. No, he's not. No, he's not. And if he does not, his neighbors will be apt to see it and you will befriend, and they will befriend you. No, they won't. The other slave plantation holders are trying to keep all their slaves intact. I don't know where this brother was coming from, and then tried to alter his conduct. No, no white man ain't going to try to alter no other white man's conduct against no black slave. If this does not do, you must cry to him who has the heart of all men in his hands, meaning cry unto God, okay, and turneth the rivers and the waters are turned. In other words, just pray. Now, you talk about a pacifist. Well, that was his point number one. When I read that, I said, oh, Lord, what am I going to do with this knowledge? You're going to put it up on the internet on your website to let people know why you've changed, even though I was an evangelical pastor. I had not read this material, kinds of things like this. He says, second point that he wanted to make was, in particular, I would mention is honesty and faithfulness. Honesty and faithfulness. Now, I like this kind of a thing here because I was raised on that. I was raised and told never to steal anything, never to lie about anything. Be the kind of person that not only a white man, a black man, but any man could trust, because that's what it's all about. This is what he wrote about this. He says, you must suffer me now to deal plainly with you, my brethren, my dear brethren, for I do not mean to flatter or admit speaking the truth, whether it is for you or against you. How many of you are there who allow yourselves in stealing from your masters? Now remember, when this was written, the brothers didn't have a thing. And the white supremacists had everything. And of course they had to steal. Number one, white man ain't their master. He ain't never been your master. God is your master. If you're using anything such as food, shelter, and things to build for your safety, for the safety of your family, you're not stealing. You're doing what a man is supposed to do. Oh, yes. Now, wait a minute. This black man goes on and says, it is very wicked for you not to take care of your master's goods. But how much worse it is to pilfer and steal from them. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Wait a minute. Wait. He says, whenever you think you shall not be found out. No. If I was a slave back in the day and I had to steal to keep my brothers eating and to keep them well, I know that they're going to find out that it's stealing because they have guards out there checking up on that stuff. Just like if you stole today, they got cameras and everything. They will come to your house and get back what you stole. Okay? I know that. I'm just grateful that I live in a country, in a place right now where I know better than I have never been to a jail outside of a military prison for 20 days. I told you about that. I've never was in the custody of being handcuffed and things like that for stealing because I don't have to steal. I've worked my whole life. But some brothers can't work, won't work, have been penalized, marginalized, and everything else, and will never get back on their feet. But this black man writes, and he says, this, you must know, is very wicked and provoking to God. Okay, and I don't know why I bring God in this. God sees my family's hungry, that I'm hungry. You know, it's like this. It's even in the Bible. Jesus spoke about it. There was a baker, the man that owned a bakery shop, and a man came to his shop in the midnight hour knocking on the door, trying to get him up. He says, I need some bread. And the man said, If I get out of bed, I got to disturb my whole family. I'm not going to get out of bed to give you no bread. Come back tomorrow. The man was persistent and kept knocking and kept knocking. Now, if the man that owned the bakery didn't get up and the man needed bread for his family, would it be wrong for him to break the window or whatever they had it in and to steal a loaf of bread to feed his family? Would it be right to send that man to prison? Hell no. He did that for the right thing, to feed his family. That's why all these people coming across the border now, coming over here trying to eat, and we want to starve them out and everything. Man, look at the people coming from Haiti. Whatever government they got left over there, now they kidnapping the children in Haiti and trying to sell them for ransom. They're killing the children's parents in Haiti now in the year 2021. Do you see what's going on in Somalia? Tribes are coming down from the north, taking over the whole countries, killing people right now. Oh, you don't hear about it over here because you're in America. Oh, I understand. Wait a minute. This black man continues to write. He says, there are none of you so ignorant, but that you must know that this is wrong. I'm telling you, no, no, no. Way back in 1700s, brother, that was right. And then he says, though you may try to excuse yourselves by saying that your masters are unjust to you, and though you may try to quiet your conscience in this way, yet if you are honest in owning the truth, this black man says, you must think that it is wicked, and on some accounts, more wicked to steal from your masters than from others, quote unquote. Boy, this man was really set and died in the colonialized culture of his day. This is a black man who liked wearing that warm wool on his ass and was coming against his people with no remorse for their condition. Then he says, we cannot certainly have any excuse either for taking anything that belongs to our masters without their leave or of being unfaithful in their business. It is our duty, this black man says, to be faithful, not with eye service as men pleasers. We have no right to stay when we are sent on errands any longer than to do the business that we are sent upon. In other words, he says, when the white master sent us and something, we need to do his business and come right back and stop slurching on the job and trying to make that thing work for ourselves. This man's out of his mind. He was not black conscious at all. Then he says, all the time spent idly is spent wickedly and in unfaithfulness to our masters. In these things, I must say that I think many of you are guilty. I know that many of you endeavor to excuse yourselves and say that you have nothing that you can call your own and that you are under great temptations to be unfaithful and to take from your masters, but this will not do. Wait a minute. He addressed the situation rightfully, and then he started to think with the slave's mind instead of his own mind. Then he says, God will certainly punish you for stealing and for being unfaithful. No, he will not. If there is a God, he cannot. If there's a God that is just and knows what freedom is, he dare not. So this address to the Negroes in the state of New York in 1898, is wherever this fool was writing. Wait a minute, when did he write this thing? I'm trying to forget it. In 1786. Come on, man. Now, you see why I'm reading this on my webpage. see, on my website. And because see, you're not gonna listen to it any other way but by a man that's gonna say, y'all need to wake up. These youngsters around here not gonna put up, you know, with this Floyd George murdering. They got this other murder trial up when they shot that man. Man was on the back of a pickup truck, shot that black man. Thought that black man wasn't doing nothing, but look at that, how construction is done in a house, which is anybody can walk up on the property and you're not stealing. Shot that man and trying to, they should hang these two white boys or whoever they are for killing that man like that, cold-blooded murder, shot down in the street like a dirty dog, thinking like these people. This black man is talking about defending. I'm not trying to start no race riots or nothing, but that is wrong. And to say that God is going to certainly punish you for stealing and being unfaithful. Then he goes on and says, all that we have to mind is our own duty. No, no, no. You better look around you. Don't be just looking at what you better look at what's coming at you with these devices that I talk about now, because they can hear what I'm saying, turn it on and off, and they can record it. I don't give a dang. I'm trying to help you people that got a few brains left in your head. It says, if God has put us in bad circumstances, that is not our fault, and he will not punish us for it. Quote, unquote. Man, you out of, let me read that sentence again. He said, if God has put us in a bad circumstance, why would God do that in the first place? Shut up. That is not our fault. Why are you even talking like that? You know who put you in that. White privilege put you in that circumstance. Man, y'all need to come to it. And then he says, if any are wicked in keeping us so, we cannot help it. They must answer to God for it. Well, some of us are saying, no, they're going to answer to us for it because God is using us. See, you have to rise up. That's what those people are doing. I watch the world news. People are rising up all over the world, doing away with these politicians, with these governments, and all this stuff. Global warming is destroying the planet. And everybody rich going to the rich and eating steak and eggs and everything else. And there are people that are drowning. Rivers of water coming through their homeland, washing everything away. Uh-huh. Then the black man goes on and says, nothing will serve as an excuse for us for not doing our duty. The same God will judge both them and us. Well, that don't mean that we should be pacifists. He says, pray then, my dear friends. Fear to offend in this way, but be faithful to God, to your masters, and to your own souls. This is a double, triple contradiction of logic. While you're on your knees praying and everything, God is supposed to make sure all this stuff turns out right, right? Wait a minute. The next thing that I would mention, he says, and warn you against is profaneness. This you know is forgotten by God. Christ tells us, swear not at all. And again, it is said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, this is what I was taught by my grandmother when I came up as a little boy. That's why when I read this, I said, oh, this is where this came from. This come from way back. No, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. See, they teach you that because subconsciously, who is this Lord in vain that you're not supposed to? It's the white man. See, now listen to this. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. That's in the Bible. Now, though the great God has forbidden it, this black man says, yet how dreadfully profane are many. And I don't know, but I have to say this, most of you, he says, how common is it to hear you take terrible, the awful name of the Lord in vain, to swear by it and by Jesus Christ, his son? How common it is to hear you say about damnation to your companions and your own souls. See, you can become so bent by seeing upheaval that you just say blibbity blop, flibbity flop, flibbity flop, bibbity blop. I know, because you're tired of it. That is the lesser human way to deal with the things that is happening to you. But he says, how common to hear the damnation of your companions, to your own souls, and to sport with the name of heaven and hell as if there were no such places of your hope or to fear. Oh, my friends, be warned to forsake this dreadful sin of profaneness. Pray, my dear friends, believe and realize that there is a God. And that, you know, a lot of people don't believe in God. And as far as I'm concerned, that's up to them. I believe that there's a God. I believe that you should oblige God at all times. That's how come I try not to use his name in vain. But I do understand persons that have come to the limit of their existence from listening to brothers like this brother talking in this piece. I can understand that. He says, certainly you do not believe that there is a God or that there is a heaven, a hell, or never trifle with them. It would make you shudder if you hear others do it, if you believe them as much as you believe anything. He just goes on. He says, I've heard that some learn to, wait a minute, I have heard some learn and good men say that the heathen and all that worship false gods never spoke lightly or irreverently of their gods. They never took their names in vain or jested. This slave didn't know. And that's what he was. See, he was only responding to that he knew. We live in a day and age where we know better. And I'm not going to read any more from him because this is a long piece. And I would call it a treatise from an Uncle Tom. And now, today, I would say to young people, please fighting, keep continuing to fight for the freedom and justice of your families and your friend, of your companions. Please let the people continue to come from the South American countries and to take this hemisphere back because of global warming and everything else. This address to the Negroes in the state of New York by Juniper Hammond. I can't read anymore. I refuse to. But what I do want to do is I'd like to play a number by the Duke that can bring us, I believe, closer to what I'm aiming at. There is something that believing can do for you. And if we don't believe correctly, we're going to believe incorrectly. So listen to what Duke Ellington wrote about believing. Listen to the words. Listen to the words. Duke, help me out here. Listen. If you're going to believe, then believe with the right frame of reference. Listen. Listen. Something about believing.
Something about believing that keeps on going.
artist.
Something about believing that makes my soul sing. Something about believing that keeps me holy. Unto God Almighty.
something about believing. So just don't believe everything you read in that book, because everything that you read in that book wasn't meant to be transliterated like that. When it says slaves obey your masters, that had nothing to do with the black slave from Africa or from anywhere else obeying the white man that had the rule over their lives. No, it didn't mean that at all. No, we are to fight against any kind of enslavement, because there's a lot of, man, there's even a lot of sexual enslavement going on. Our children are being kidnapped and used as sex slaves. It's terrible. And it's happening all over the world, because human beings can be used like that over and over and over again. Don't be tricked or fooled by people that use the Bible and try to keep you enslaved in a way that you cannot be free the way God intended you to be free. I want to thank Duke Ellington from his great collection of music, and I want to thank you for taking the time to come to my website to see what PJ is talking about. I've enjoyed this Saturday afternoon, and I hope that you've enjoyed this weekend also. God bless you. I love you. Talk to you soon.